Lord, we thank you for your word to us today. Thank you for seeking and saving us through the cross. We acknowledge our own failings and ask that you give us soft hearts to always be open to your continuing work in us by your Holy Spirit. Help us to seek and to serve you, to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love others. Help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. Amen. So, for part of the week, the second part of the week, I'm a teacher in a local primary school. And this last week, I've been exploring a story about belonging with the children in my class. The story is called The King of the Sky by Nicola Davis, and it tells the story of a young boy who's moved from the sunlight and fountains and the warm vanilla scent of his grandma's ice cream shop in Rome to the dark, coal dust-filled mining valleys of Wales, where no one speaks his language. His only solace is his friendship with old Mr. Evans and with Mr. Evans's racing pigeons, because the pigeons remind him of the ones in the city squares of Rome where he's come from. And the old man shows the boy how to train one particular bird, which the boy names the King of the Sky, or Rio del Cielo in his native Italian. Now, eventually, this bird is sent by train to Rome, and the boy must wait patiently back in Wales for it to return. And it's a very tense wait. It says he's scouring the skies looking for this bird to come back. And in the picture book, and it's really beautifully illustrated, you see the bird going through all these storms and trials and lots of difficulties on its journey. But the boy is completely unaware of everything that the bird is going through. And eventually, the bird comes into view back in Wales, and the boy takes it in his hands. And the boy also has this real sense of finally being where he belongs. Just like the bird, he knows that he is home. It's a really beautiful and heartwarming story. And in exploring it with the children, we talked a lot about this sense of belonging, this sense of peace, even when things aren't perfect, when things aren't how you'd like them to be. And both of our readings today talk about a sense of belonging and a sense of peace. Psalm 23 acknowledges that there are dark valleys in our lives when things are really difficult and when we feel surrounded by what feels like enemies. And these can be circumstances, they can be other people, they can even be ourselves. Sometimes we can be our own worst enemy. But what the psalm promises is that in these times, as at all times, God is with us, walking with us through the dark valleys, providing what we need to get through. He's our good shepherd. It talks about the comfort of God's rod and staff. And the rod and the staff, they were used by the shepherds to rescue. So the one that had the hook on it, they used to be able to hook the sheep out of trouble, and also to guide, and sometimes to prod. There were times when we need a little bit of a prod in the right direction. I know I certainly do. But it's such a comfort to know that God is with us. Sometimes in the most difficult times, we're most aware of both our need for him and that he is there. We feel his presence. And sometimes this is like a deep internal sense of peace that seems to kind of defy all reason when we look at the circumstances around us. But it also takes the form of God working in and through situations in very practical ways too. In the people that come alongside us to help and support us. Or sometimes there might be unexplained twists and turns to our situation and we can just see a way through. We can see God's guiding hand there also. Often, though we're not conscious of it at the time, we can look back and recognize the fulfillment of the promise that God works all things for good for those that love him. As well as being our shepherd and guide, God is also our refuge, where we can find stillness and peace and an opportunity to refresh and recharge and be restored. It's a place that no matter what else might be happening around us, we know that we're loved, that we belong, and that we're home. I really love the story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, where the son, who in his selfishness and self-interest, manages to stuff up his life big time. And eventually he kind of comes to his senses and decides to come home. And he's not really sure about what he's going to find there. But what he finds is exactly what he left, which is the unconditional love of the Father. There's no sort of hands-on hips, I told you so's. There's just open arms and words of comfort and belonging. He's home. And we have an amazing God who is always there, and who in Jesus sought to save and restore us, to bring us into his family and know his great love. And by his Spirit, he walks with us and works through us still. Not only can we find our rest and peace and stillness and refreshing and anointing in him, but we can be used to bring these things to other people. And what the Bible tells us, and what Paul's letter to the Ephesians highlights, is that this sense of peace, of knowing God, is open to all people, to everybody. Regardless of their background, their history, their circumstances, whatever, it's a gift of love and grace given by God to the whole world through Jesus. Now, Ephesus was a very cosmopolitan city on what is now the coast of Turkey. And for Paul, it was a city of challenge and also of opportunity, where the good news of Jesus was both dismissed and rejected by some and received enthusiastically by others. And so the church was established in Ephesus. But it did face lots of challenges. And this letter serves as an encouragement to the church in Ephesus to be secure in who they are in Christ and to live out their faith. And it's a message we still need to hear today. And the church in Ephesus was primarily a Gentile church, so anyone who wasn't a Jew was termed a Gentile. There had been lots of debate in the early years of the church as to whether Gentiles, that is non-Jews, could even be part of Christ's church. I mean, Jesus himself was a Jew, as were most, but not all, of his first disciples and followers. But Jesus had commissioned his followers to share the good news with all people throughout the whole world. And so clearly Jesus expected the good news to be for everybody and to be shared with everyone. There had historically been a great deal of enmity and suspicion and disagreement and even hatred, deep hatred, between Jews and Gentiles. Walls were built in the temple complex through which non-Jews were forbidden to go. They had to stay outside in the courts of the Gentiles, and they weren't allowed to access the holiest places in the temple. And there were sometimes other physical walls and sometimes mental walls or emotional walls between communities. And sadly, we can still see this type of separation and division around the world today, even in our own country today. Jesus got himself into lots of trouble with the religious leaders of the day by spending time with Gentiles and sinners. The religious leaders thinking that fraternizing with such people was seriously frowned upon. They were dead set against it, but Jesus just ignored them. Some members of the early church argued that non-Jews would have to convert to Judaism to be part of the fellowship, and that they should follow Jewish law, and that included being circumcised, which was the outward sign of being part of God's family. But in Acts 15 we read that all the apostles and disciples and the sort of church leaders met at Jerusalem to have this debate. And the leaders of the church accepted that there was no need to kind of jump through these old hoops to be seen as being part of God's family. That in Jesus we find peace and a place to belong, regardless of who we are. It says in Ephesians, he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one, and here they're talking about Jews and Gentiles, he's made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. Through the cross, Jesus broke down those barriers. He died once for all. His purpose, it goes on, was to create in himself one new humanity out of two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile them both to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He, that's Jesus, came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who are near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Now there is something that's brought all of us here today. And whether we've been coming for years, months, a few weeks, or even if this is our first time here, whatever the reason, there's a desire deep within us that's brought us through those doors. Whatever our background, our history, our circumstances, we share this kind of desire, this curiosity to know God more. Now whether we're brought up with a knowledge of God or not, there will have been, or will be, at some point, a shift in our perception of God or our desire to know him. And from feeling like strangers far from God, there's also a desire to draw near, a desire to belong. St. Augustine famously said, "Thou hast made me for thyself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until it finds its rest in thee." I don't know if anyone else has a really special place that feels like home. For me, it's the north in general, but Scotland in particular. So this kind of heat doesn't suit me. I think that's why I'd like to go the further north, especially in the summer. And one of my favourite singer-songwriters called Chris Drever wrote about this sense of being pulled home in his song Going to the North, and it's about his roots in Orkney. So the song talks about travelling from where he is to his home in Orkney. And I just thought I'd read some of the lyrics to you. "The wind whistles through this old frozen railway car. I lost track some time ago, though I know we've come so far. We're only going to the north to see our parents there. They'll always find a bed for us, though there's no space to spare. I can always find my own way home in the night time, in the day. The cold wind concentrates the mind and blows the blues away. There's a star up in the north. It can help you to get home. It's been at work since the very first day from Kirkwall down to Rome. You can view things more clearly when you see them from afar. The little things get clearer the nearer that you are. A prisoner's road across the sea where now water drowns in sand. The same thing always calls me here that causes birds to land. There's a magnet in the north. You're never really gone. The lodestone can't but help but spin, and it knows where you belong." I think St. Augustine was talking about a kind of lodestone in our hearts that pulls us to our Heavenly Father, the one who created us and loves us. It pulls us to a place where we feel we belong. And when we're far from him, when we're far from God, we have this sense of restlessness, of not being quite settled or not being quite whole. Knowing God as our Heavenly Father, being part of God's family, is such a blessing. Paul wrote to the Ephesians that you are no longer foreigners or strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling place in which God lives by his Spirit. It's an amazing thought that we, with all our different life stories, are together here today. And it's one of the things that I really love about the church. It can be a place where we all feel that we belong. It can be, but not everyone necessarily feels that way. As part of my training, I recently had to do an assignment, and the question was, what is the church? It's a big question. It was quite difficult to wrestle with it and pin down, well, what do I think the church is? And my first response was based on what Jesus called his disciples to do, that the church is the body of Christ, his people, gathered together and sent out to proclaim the word of God and the good news of Jesus in word and deed. What we say and do matters so much. Equipped by the Holy Spirit to make disciples, teach and baptize, to come alongside others. And this is in response to all that Jesus did for us on the cross. Our response to his great love for us and our desire to show that love to others. But we all recognise that we were once far from God, like the prodigal son. We're all prodigals. Paul reminds the Ephesians that in the past, you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship, foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near to the blood, by the blood of Christ. Now, as I was kind of researching and exploring the history of the church, it struck me that there's constantly been debates and opinions about who's in, who's out. So right like the early church, are the Jews in? Is it just Jews? Is it Jews and Gentiles? These kind of debates have been going on and on and on. Finding out ways of how we can be Christian brothers and sisters together was not just a problem for the early church in Jerusalem. It's been an issue right throughout the church as we wrestled with how we follow Christ together. And finding how we move forward together will be a challenge, just as it has always been. As well as commissioning us to go out into all the world and proclaim the good news of creation, Jesus prayed that his followers would all be one, as he and his Father and the Holy Spirit are one. He prayed for unity. Though, as the founder of the 24/7 prayer movement, Pete Gregg acknowledges that this is a prayer of Jesus that, sadly, as yet, is unanswered. But thankfully, it's not all doom and gloom. There are examples in our church history where openness and a willing to listen and to learn from each other have both enriched and strengthened the church, despite challenges and difficulties and differences. We see around us there's so many different denominations of the church, and they were all born out of disagreements about how we do things. Our common ground, though, that we all share, is that we all need Jesus. And the beginning of chapter 2 of Ephesians, just before the passage that we heard today, Paul highlights the fact that we all fall short, we all fail, we're all prodigals. He writes, like the rest, we were by nature deserving of God's wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead in transgressions for the things that we've done wrong. It is by grace that you have been saved, and God raises us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming age he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace we have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. It's not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Being a church where we all feel that we can belong, where we can respectfully hold our differences, our disagreements, requires humility, love, and a recognition that we're all under grace. As the theologian Jeff Astley puts it, when the church falls to its knees, its members are all the same height. In The King of the Sky, two very different people found common ground, the boy and Mr. Evans, a shared understanding. The boy found a sense of home and belonging that wasn't rooted in geography. It didn't matter which country he was in. It was about love and care and fellowship. Our hope, our vision as a church is to be a blessing to our town, to be a place where all feel welcome and can encounter God and know his love for them, to reflect his love in all we say and do, to be a place where we can learn together how to follow Jesus, to be guided by our good shepherd and to know his peace, a place where all can find stillness, be refreshed and restored. Thou hast made us for thyself, O Lord. Our heart is restless until it finds its rest in thee.